This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Now, more than 100 days after Nancy Guthrie was abducted from her Tucson home, Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos made a striking admission recently. He is no longer communicating directly with the victim's family. What does that mean for this? There's a lot of ways to read that. A lot of people have been talking about it online and over on Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer, who happens to be with us today. I'm curious, Jen, as we begin discussing all this and this development of Nanos no longer in direct communication with the Guthrie family, including Savannah and her siblings. What exactly does that mean? I know you've been tweeting a lot about it in this last week.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tony, because these are spontaneous utterances that Sheriff Nanos is so well known for. And I really think he wishes he could just rewind and either not address that question or address it more opaque. But basically, to me, that's just saying they don't want to talk to him. Because I've never been in a situation ever where the family doesn't want to talk to you or you don't have the lines of communication. And remember, he does say they're speaking with the FBI. So it says a lot.
Yeah. And you know me, like always, I just looked up the stat on this. So this only happens where the sheriff breaks contact with the victim's family, like only 15, 20% of the time max. I mean, it's kind of like that Office. If anyone ever watches the Office, the sitcom where they give Michael Scott a practice run first with answering a phone and it's fake. And then he hangs up and he starts again and it's better the second time. I think that's Nanos incarnate. He really needs a do-over on everything he says.
He needs a mute button is what he needs. And he needs to exercise the mute button and then take a second before things come out of his mouth. Some people just don't really have that very well. I feel like he's one of them where it's like maybe well-intentioned, but let's learn how to message more effectively.
You think that'd be the self-awareness aspect of it, because he's been able to hide, I think, behind a lot of successes in the past by his department, I think. And also, like Jen always says, is that, you know, you always go down to the people on the ground doing the gritty hard work, and he's got some decent people, at least in the past he has. But in this one, no, he is way as an outlier by breaking comms with the victim's family.
He had said it works both ways. Okay, I guess that, you know, that makes sense if the family doesn't want to speak with him. I get, you know, we're getting into the territory of conjecture and opinion here, but why? I mean, maybe I have some ideas, but I'm curious what yours are, Jen. Why would they not want to be speaking with the local sheriff that is heading, you know, the investigation into the disappearance of their own mother?
Well, when I've seen this happen in the past, it's typically because the family keeps wanting more information. And I've seen this before in a lot of missing cases, actually. And maybe that is what accounts for your statistic there, where law enforcement will just close it off in missing cases because they're constantly being irritated, or they get irritated with all the questions. But I don't think that's the situation here. I really believe it's because they have lost faith in perhaps how he's communicating with them, and they'd rather just hear from the FBI and at least have a clear understanding of the messaging.
And how do you think that's going? Because I know FBI is not lead on this. You know, we're in a supporting role. How much new information do you think they're able to give the Guthries, and is it relevant to them? I mean, and whose point on that do you think? Because they don't have a command post on site anymore. So is it going to be out of the field office that's local there? I mean, what do you think?
Well, absolutely. The first thing in any missing case that I did as a case agent, one of the first things was I wrote that EC to get the victim witness coordinator involved and have a very specific person that is trained to manage people who are, you know, going through the grieving process and who are very upset, deal with them. And that way, the case agent never really has to deal with them at all. And the victim witness coordinator then can speak with us, and then we can kind of filter through them in a very manageable way to the family that's understanding for their needs. So that's what I think how it's happening.
Yeah, the victim witness program is amazing. It's important. I remember when a stand-up, even John Douglas in one of his books, was it him or Gavin DeBeckers? Either way, I think it might have been Gavin DeBeckers, Get the Fear. Both of them, I think, talked about the importance of that and how it was stood up. I wonder, I'm going to look it up right now, whether Nanos' department even has one.
Is there anything here that you know, could it impede the investigation with them not having, or is this more just, again, like you said, it's Nanos speaking out loud. If there was some sort of development or some reason they needed to communicate with the family, I would imagine that line is still open. I mean, I guess the FBI is there, but if for some reason Nanos's department needed to communicate, there's other people there other than Nanos. And Nanos didn't say the department's not speaking. He said he's not speaking with them. So I'm wondering, again, I mean, as you said at the beginning, is this just really, there's not a lot of grit to this statement other than Nanos speaking aloud and everybody going, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think that the FBI is likely the overall conduit on this case between with the Guthries. And I think Sheriff Nanos, I doubt if he's going to give them a call based on what he himself said. So I would look that if he has a question for them or information he needs, I think the FBI is that conduit.
Yeah, and they do have a victim witness department inside Pima County. So, yeah, and it looks like they've cut them off as well.
In other cases here, obviously there's a microscope on this one and we're all looking at it. I mean, how often do sheriff's departments continue to communicate with families when we're at 100 days here? We don't really have any leads. We don't have any suspects. I know Nanos has said that the family is cleared, and I'm no way saying that the family has anything to do with this, but we still don't know who did this. And when you don't have that answer, are they typically still sitting there having conversation? Is there, if you got nothing to share, I guess, why would there be much communication if there's no developments going on? Wouldn't this just be kind of par for the course on a case that essentially is starting to, it appears, go somewhat cold? And we'll get to maybe it is, maybe it isn't in a moment.
Well, you know, Tony, always these families want to know information. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the information is going downhill from the family to law enforcement, but rather they are begging for information to go uphill to them. And it has to be limited because depending on where their pointer is in this case, if there even is one as to a possible suspect or theory, they're not going to want to share that typically with any family members for fear that it would get out and released. But nevertheless, typically there's a lot of communication, Tony, behind the scenes between that victim witness coordinator and sometimes the case agent or the lead detective, just to say, listen, we're working on this. We've got 7 DNA samples, you know, something to give them some peace of mind that it's being worked hard behind the scenes is typically the solution.
Yeah, I also, we had heard early on that the Guthrie family hired a PI, I believe. Do you know, is that still person employed? Are they still doing something behind the scenes? Do you have any idea?
You know, I haven't heard a lot about him. I have that footage where he's confronted. And it was really unclear to me whether he's doing PI work or whether he was doing sort of security work. It was a little bit cloudy. And of course, we've heard nothing about it. And I just have to believe if he was really, if they had somebody and he was really snooping around, we would be getting that leaked out from neighbors that are being approached and so on. So I just have my doubts as to exactly what a person in that capacity is doing.
Why wouldn't they, you think, have a PI on this? Because we just got off of, Tony and I chatted with the one that was handling the
Corey Richens.
Corey Richens case, and they really need him. Oh my God, he was good. Any idea why they wouldn't want to have their own PI? Again, cost, I know, but at this point, you know, I know they're if you're willing to put up $1 million to help recover your mother, I would think that they'd be able to and willing to do something with a PI, or maybe there's just nothing there that they think it's not worth it, or they've told it wasn't. I mean, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think when it comes to PIs, first of all, I think some of them, as long as they're, I believe you should get one that's foreign law or former law enforcement. I made that very clear with a long, in a case like this, somebody with a long history of violent crime and kidnapping type experience, homicide experience, and not, I tell you, some of the people that just throw up their hand and say, I think I'll be a PI. They don't have the context. Right. They don't have the time behind the tiller, as I always say. Having said that, I think the good ones can be really good and do a lot of good for these cases, especially when they're willing to be private eyes.
Right.
And fortunately, the ones we tend to see are not very private. And so it's possible they do have somebody working behind the scenes. I tell you where I would have them working if I were the family. I'd have them working in the cyberspace regarding those emails, and then also in the Bitcoin space. I just think those are possible leads that have just, we don't hear anything about them. And that, you know, requires a very serious expertise. That's where I'd be spending my money. But it's difficult to get a PI when the Bureau is so heavily involved, I believe, because I think they are doing so much right now behind the scenes.
Lots of questions still and not a lot of answers. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work our way through our conversation on this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.